This AV Nation Women in AV Wavecast, we discuss that for the first time in the industry, CEDIA and AVIXA have elected women as a majority of their new board of directors. That, and you'll hear some surprising and interesting responses to a discussion online from folks about whether or not it's okay to cry at work. All this and more on this Wavecast episode.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation's Wavecast, building a better tech world. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to AV Nation, Women in AV Wavecast. We are your industry's only woman-focused podcast where we talk about things that matter to you, learn from the female leaders in our industry, and continue to grow and recognize what it means to be female in a male-dominated tech industry. So we're really excited to have with us today Heather Sidorowicz, the CEDIA Board of Director. I mean, phenomenal. CEDIA Board of Director, female business owner, a multi-award winning leader in our industry. So Heather, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, no problem. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me. And it's a pleasure.
Yeah, great. Happy holidays. Are you excited and ready for those?
I don't think I'm ever ready. It's a pretty crazy time of year, but this year I'm definitely doing better at taking it in bite-sized pieces and trying not to get overwhelmed by everything. It's just, you know, running from place to place.
Right. It, from a business perspective, is it also that you guys, like, year end, December 31st is a pretty crazy time as business owners? I worked for the government, so we were always on the June 30th. We were sort of off of that, but...
We are with calendar year, so it is end of year for us. We beat our numbers from last year already, so that's fantastic. And we've had our holiday Christmas party, and we're winding down some jobs, and we're already scheduled out into 2020. So we are in a good place. We're actually this year going to go dark or shut down between Christmas and New Year's, which has always been a dream of mine. Last year, I did the same thing, except 2 days before Christmas, I had some crazy pain. And that turned out to be appendicitis, and I had my gallbladder removed. So it wasn't really quite the vacation I was hoping for last year. This year,
no matter what, this year is going to be better.
Never a dull moment.
Yeah, cool. Well, yeah, keep chugging along. That's great. Well, you know, I thank you for being here today. I'm really excited to talk about like two topics with you that you are really, you know, intimately involved in and also know so much about. Before we get started, you know, I wanted to acknowledge the passing of our Women in AV UK founder, Abigail Brown. She passed early November 8th from terminal bowel cancer. She's my age. She was 43. So, and she was one of the most healthy people. You know, there's so many things about it, but you know, the world really lost just a beautiful, beautiful human being, and everything that she meant to women, the achievements, absolutely everything that she did was phenomenal. And you know, the most important thing that we can do is never let anybody forget her. And, you know, continue to do things in her honor and, you know, being more like her. It's really important to me that I wanted to make sure to thank the actual industry. I've personally, you know, I find our industry so unique as, you know, different than a lot of tech industries.
And absolutely.
Yeah, and the overwhelming support and comfort and just acknowledgement from absolutely far and wide all over the world is a testament to who she was, but it really just also, it brought so much comfort and gratefulness, you know, and strength. So I just wanted to make sure to, you know, tell everybody, thank you. And there, incredibly fortunately, there's a group of original Women in AV UK members you know, men and women who have been with Abby since the beginning. And, you know, it's really humbled and privileged that they've all come together and will carry forward the torch for her. The Daily Do, they raised money at their gala on her behalf for the hospice that took care of her. So they raised $3,000, you know, recently, like in her name. So, you know, and there'll be more news to come. They're working on ISE show plans and things like that. But I just really wanted to acknowledge that and say thank you to anybody that's listening and everybody that's
I didn't watching. Have the pleasure of knowing her, but it sounds like we can honor her and her strength by just being out there and not afraid and challenging the status quo. You know, she sounds like an amazing woman.
Yeah, she really was. And she would want us to do that. So that's like, you know, it's like for me, it's like, you know, if you ever feel doubt or if you ever feel like you might not be able to do something, think of Abby. You know, just think about her and what she would
She'll
do.
She'll be
and
our like AV keep with spirit.
You. Yes, she is. A wave legend. Awesome. So cool. Thanks. So being that, you know, moving on to like something that's really special also about our industry, I was so jazzed this year. And, you know, something you really know a lot about, for the first time, and I believe in the history of our industry, but also I don't know anywhere else in the world that I've noticed, the CEDIA Board of Directors had their, and AVIXA also had their yearly elections for Board of Directors. Now, Heather, you are a Board of Directors, so I'm really excited to
hear just
your
a smidge longer. So yes. I was the first female since the 90s on that board. But as you, I don't want to steal your thunder, but what's happening as I'm leaving? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's so phenomenal to me that, you know, it went from just you for the first time, I think, in 12 years.
Yeah, it was way too long. Way too long.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you are, so for people that are tuning in, you are the board of director. You were elected to the board of directors for last year, for the 2019-2020. And then this year, membership elected, there were four women that actually ran, and they actually elected three out of the four new board of director positions as women. So three out of the four actually won. And what's really interesting also, in comparison, they didn't elect as many, but AVIXA also elected a majority of two out of the three women that were by membership elected into these positions, the next upcoming, you know, board of directors. So, I mean, what do you make of that?
I think it's
besides
great.
Being awesome.
I think it's great, right? To be out there and be the change. And the reason I ran was because it hadn't happened. And I'm a big proponent of putting your money where your mouth is. So I was actually the 2018-2019. So my membership will end at the end of this calendar year. But I elected some females myself, not elected, but I had nominated some females myself to make sure that they were going to run, and then, you know, spoke to them on the sidelines about what to expect. And I'm thrilled that there will not be one, but multiple females on the board as I, you know, go into the CEDIA board sunset.
Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame. First woman in 12 years. I mean, that's phenomenal. And, you know, what does that say to you? Because, you know, for me, one of the, like, and again, like, so special about our industry is that here is 75% of the professionals that were actually elected represent, on a good day, on a good poll survey, maybe 15% of the industry. So what does that say to you about, and especially because, you know, on the CEDIA side of things?
For me, it's always about perspective. I think that any board that's all one way or another is skewed, right? So it's scientifically proven that men and women see things differently, physically differently. When we walk into the room, we take in a room differently. When we are doing a quote, we're going to look at that differently. So for it to be skewed one way to all men for so many years, it's not giving a true view of the entire industry. And so I think that maybe we're finally understanding that. My husband works with all females. So I think that that can be just as wrong as all men. So I think that it's important to have both seats at the table, because I think that the end user, whether that's a membership or whether that's a client, having both men and women in your business, is going to give you a better solution overall.
Right. That's awesome. So you, having experienced it and having, you know, I mean, you know, just firsthand what kinds of decisions are being made there, you know, what conversations are happening that are, you know, really kind of different. What do you, when you look ahead and you see that there's going to be, you know, three women that are sitting at that table, plus, I mean, it goes without saying, I mean, briefly talked about this, but CEDIA as a trade organization, I am beyond stoked and to see what the future brings because their CEO, Tabitha O'Connor, she was the acting, you know, CEO, but now in, I think it was 2018, she was made the permanent CEO. So there really is a significant, like, majority. How do you see that, like, different sort of perspective playing out in the decisions that are being made, having been there? All right, let me ask you this other question. When you get to that level of decision making and conversations, do you actually recognize a difference between the way that men and women sort of look at things and, you know, what's of a priority to them?
Well, so in my tenure, and let me preface this by saying any opinions are of my own, not of the board. The board only speaks as one, so it's very important to say. And it was a great learning experience for me. I learned, and I've been on boards before. This is my first international board. One of our meetings each year was in London, which was phenomenal. Because we are in an international association. And during my tenure, it was, my first year was, I was the only female. The second year, Melanie came over from EMEA. She was not elected in at that time. She was brought in, and now she's been elected for another 2-year term. And she's phenomenal. But I think I wish I could almost be a fly on the wall during this next term with more females, because I think that there is some solidarity and strength in numbers. And again, I think it's about perspective. It's sometimes can be a tougher fight. These were some of the people who have been in the industry for a very long time and were they were moving forward in a way they always had and not used to being questioned. So I think it will be interesting to see where all that goes.
Yeah. I know. I can't wait. And what advice do you have for, you know, most generally, you're one of my, like, favorite, like, women and professionals, like, and everything just over the years, I mean, being the business owner, being the award winner, being just so warm and, you know, engaging in, you know, the industry. But as well,
I'm gonna just take you and put you in my pocket.
But it's very generally, like, you know, for women to be able to see that, and then also making these decisions that are influencing, like, the future. What advice? I mean, plus you're a mom, right? You're married, and you do have a family, and appendicitis. You know, I mean, like, what advice do you give to somebody that aspires to be where you're at, but looks at, you know, saying, like, oh my God, a board of directors, I couldn't necessarily do that if she's a female.
You know, do it anyway. Do it anyway, right? So it's not that I don't get scared or timid or beat up. I have all those feelings too, but it's about doing it anyway and understanding that the tough stuff is often much more valuable than the stuff that comes easy to you. I'm a big believer in life begins at the edge of your comfort zone. And there's a place we all like to be comfortable and warm and fuzzy, and that's great, and that's good for your soul. But to push yourself and get out there and do things that you're not used to is the only way your life is going to change. This year, I accidentally took up running, and I'm the most non-running person. I'm a yogi person. I like, but I did that, and it's not something that I'm comfortable with, and it's. But I'm learning to enjoy it. I know it's really good for me. I want to live a long time. I want to be a healthy weight. I want to be there for my girls. But I wouldn't know that if I didn't do it, if I didn't push myself to get out of the house to do it. I think that we have to really push ourselves to experience things that we're not comfortable with. And that's where growth comes from. And that's where change comes from. If we just continue with our day-to-day and kind of complain, you know, oh, it's the holidays and it's so hard and it's so stressful. Well, yes, that's absolutely true. But what makes you happy? Maybe it's sneak off to a coffee shop by yourself and have a cup of coffee or your favorite sandwich or watch a show with your kids. even though the laundry's not done. Or, you know, we have to find a balance. And I'm struggling all the time. I don't have it down, but to feed your soul, but also push yourself. I think that's important, whatever you do. So when it's, you know, I'm going to a board and the first meeting I went to was 2 years ago this January, it was scary. And I mean, in all honesty, I don't know if I'll get in trouble for saying it, but I was yelled at in that meeting. It was not a happy place. I'm really glad I did it. You know, it's that you have a magic power in your perspective. And just because you don't see it the way that that entire table does not mean that you are wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, it's so interesting. That's really great advice. And, you know, one of the things that I've certainly tried to learn so much myself is, you know, sometimes when you're the only one that thinks some way is how you know that you're actually right. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like being able to come to the sort of, you know, the comfort and like security in that, like sometimes the most right things in this world end up making you alone.
I look at it as the men have just been in the industry longer. It's just fact. Women weren't in the work world as long as men, right? There's no better or worse. There's no versus. That's a fact. So they got to build the house. The way that the business is currently run, they got to build the house. Well, now in 2019, almost a new decade, 2020, we have the opportunity to remodel it. We have the opportunity to change the way the house was built. And that can be through not making someone feel bad that works for you. If they have to go and pick up their sick kid, we have a room at the office that if you have to pick up your sick kid and maybe they're not that bad, you can go upstairs and lay on a couch and watch Netflix on a flat screen TV. And so you might still have, you know, get your work done. And also you're there for your kid. I think that we get to change the rules a little bit. And again, not in a versus, not in a better than, in a let's work together to create a better world.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. Well, you know, and it's so interesting because you say that, and that sort of like, you know, ties into like our next topic of conversation, which is, I mean, this one just, I love this one. You posted a question on Twitter that really had such a fantastic response and such an interesting and response. So, you know, I really wanted to follow up on that. You posted on Twitter a question to women in AV and AV tweeps, you know, whether or not, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it was whether or not it was okay as women to cry at work.
Correct. So right, cry publicly at work was the gist of what I was trying to go with the question.
Right.
And so I didn't want to lead the witness with that question of what my thoughts were. And it was fascinating to see what those answers were. Do you want to say what you want to talk about that?
No, yeah, absolutely. Go for it. I want to hear your thoughts about like what the response is.
So the response was, and you tell me if you took it the same way, but the response was from most men that they felt it was completely all right for women to cry at the workplace in front of other coworkers. From the women, it could go either way. It was more of a 50-50 split, but most of the women, or I would say 50% of the women felt it was not okay, and some were okay with it, depending on the situation. If there was a death or a tragedy, then by all means. Right. But if it was work-related, then don't do it. Now, my personal take, and maybe it's, I'm 42 years old, and maybe it's when I grew up, but I feel it's inappropriate. I think that anger for men and crying for women are the same, in my perception, that either one is inappropriate publicly at the workplace, just for a man to throw something across the room or to punch a wall or to yell, which is a big display of emotion, it's just as inappropriate as a female when you give a constructive criticism in the office that she would start to cry. I think, excuse yourself, go to the ladies' room, shed a tear, put on your big, big panties, and get back out there. But not everybody felt that way. So I really thought it would have gone that I would have been in the majority, but I actually was in the minority. So it's kind of a fascinating, you know, world we're in right now.
Yeah, it is. I was so glad that you asked that question because, you know, it was something that so many people had such a personal and strong feeling about.
They did. They felt some people felt it was, you know, it's human to cry, so you should just do it as you need to. And I look at it as, you know, I've cried at work before, not often. I mean, I've had, you know, wicked customers, but I've excused myself, shed the tears, and gone back.
Right. Well, and it's funny that you also mentioned, like, generational, because we're around the same age. And I feel the same exact way as you do. I often try to, like, you know, wonder if, you know, we're like the last generation of people that had to be home before the street lights were on, right? You know,
right, that's exactly when I had to be home.
Yeah, and I didn't have a cell phone until I first moved to Silicon Valley 20 years ago and got a job. You know, I mean, that was like, and I had a pager.
Correct, so, me too.
It was interesting. But then on the other hand, like you said, there were a lot of men who felt really strongly that it was okay. And I thought it was the sweetest thing that, you know, that they felt passionately about, like, being able to, you know, display emotion at work. I think some people, because I have had to remind a few people, like, we're talking about work here, right? You know, because it's like there's a bit, and it's easy, like, you know, with 140 characters, how many there are, to sort of like take an interpretation of that question. I wondered, and maybe your thoughts about this, you know, when I thought about, like, well, why would men feel so much more strongly that, you know, it's okay? And it almost like made me ask myself, well, is that because they don't necessarily understand what it's like to be, you know, a woman in that environment?
I also think that sometimes women are toughest upon ourselves, right? So unfortunately, we sometimes don't lift each other up. So there's a balance to it, because I think that the woman boss to a female employee, if it's not tragedy, it's just I'm giving you constructive criticism and you're crying. I think the woman might look at that as weakness. And is that a problem with society? And when you and I were having some of this conversation, I brought up to kind of like bring this over to the Me Too movement, that currently on Apple TV Plus, there's a TV show called The Morning Show. I've never had a TV show that I've paused in the middle before to have like deep discussions with my husband. It revolves around, it actually looks a lot, seems a lot like the Today Show, what happened with Matt Lauer and getting rid of men and you know, what constitutes going too far. It's a really interesting place we're in right now. And then to add another layer to that, how do you then raise your children, right? To say, what is consent? You must be very clear in your consent in this day and age, you know, versus not say no, but I didn't want to later. It's,
right.
You know, so I think that kind of crying thing, it's a small part that ties in all the way probably to the other side. I think I said like 17 topics there. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no. It's so cool. I love it. Yeah, but I think it's like, you know, one of the things I've heard you say, and it's just so true, you know, throughout like what we've talked about, it's, you know, we are in such an interesting time, you know, because, you know, it's, we are not the way that things were and had always sort of been, but we're not quite far enough where, you know, we're starting to see, like, you know, with the CDA board of directors, but, you know, that new foundation that you're talking about building, that new house, and it's sort of like how it's going to be different. And for me, that's actually, you know, when I think about like women in AV in 2020, you know, the things that, you know, you and I are talking about and have like started to talk about, those are the types of things I really want us as an industry, but, you know, to focus on, like, how do we want to be like in 2020? How do we want to, like, what does it mean to lift each other up? Because that's really, sometimes, you know, it's like we can be like, you know, we have our own sort of insecurities and fears, you know, about as women as a whole, we need to sort of look at, you know, and so we have this like really great opportunity to build that future, but it's really important and critical that we're building it in a way that is going to have lasting and sort of meaningful, you know, progress. Because one of the things that I thought was interesting in the response to your question was there was a younger female who actually said, well, why are you even asking this question just to women? Is it, you know, is it
right,
just like, is
right.
Why is women? And yeah. And I thought that was so interesting.
And it never even would have occurred to me to open it up.
Right. And, you know, and it was, so somebody that has a different generational experience wouldn't necessarily sort of understand, you know, what that struggle for women, like in generations before us even, and like that we're working on in ours have faced about sort of that criticism of, you know, showing, you know, emotion at work, whether it's crying, you know, whether it's, you know, being called bitchy because you're trying to be assertive.
Right. Yeah. And we're going to constantly still probably battle those names, that name calling for a while. But when you say, what can we do moving forward to a new decade, the 2020, and when I say lift each other up, I mean, when you see it and someone does it well, say something, right? Yeah. So if you're at a meeting and a female's assertive and runs a great meeting, say afterwards, you did a great job, versus that, because that's what feeds our insecurities, is thinking, oh, they all hated me, or it's lonely when I'm trying. It's lonely at the top, that kind of mentality. But if we prop each other up and say, great job, thanks for being out there, thanks for being vulnerable, thanks for sharing the fact that you don't have it all together either. I'm always trying to be careful to say that just because I do these things doesn't mean that I know what I'm doing. It's just I kind of let it all mesh together. So even when we're on this podcast, I'm getting a text from my one daughter that said she's walking with a friend, right? There isn't the separation. And it took me a while in my career to learn that I thought that business had to be on one side and personal on the other, and never the two shall meet, when really it's all together and it's a big mushy mess. And you prioritize and know what you want in life and think, you know, if I found out that I had cancer tomorrow, what would I want my legacy to be? How would I want to be remembered? And then live that true life.
Right. Yeah. It'll be so interesting. And you know, yeah, like you said, it's just being able to see it and say it like in a positive way. You know, that when people do good and feeling you exactly your point, it's one of the things I think that holds us back most in life, regardless of whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, you know, age or what have you, is when you feel alone. Mm. You know, when you feel as if nobody understands, you know, nobody will be able to.
Especially around this time of year, I think it's really hard for people if they think, man, it's the holidays, I'm supposed to be so happy. When if you took a poll, most people are most stressed this time of year, not happy. But it's when you don't get that, you know, it's especially in this day and age with social media and everyone's posting beautiful Instagram photos, you think, well, why isn't my life like that? So I think it is important to say, you know, we're all a mess too, and we're here for each other, and let's tell each other how amazing we are, men, women, all together, and stronger together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one of the most important things that I've, you know, always, like, you know, felt about women in AV, and really helping women to say, like, I wanted that organization to be the place where people aren't afraid to take risks or make mistakes, because there are none. You know what I mean? No matter what happens, no matter what goes on, it's like, it's going to be fine. We're good. You know, we'll figure it out, and, you know, we'll make it better and keep progressing. Because I know, you know, when we talk about, you know, whether, you know, losing your job, like, you know, there's different things that people have to weigh when you talk about, like, their life being so happy or anything. You know, it's like, maybe I want to get out of this job, but I have a family to support and things. So, you know, but yeah, it's, I come from the government side of things. So my whole mentality is, you know, keep my personal and professional life separate. And, you know, I mean, that's just, right. I didn't even give my mother my email address, because I felt bad, but it was like, I didn't want to, like, get you know, that chain email, you know. It's just, I really take that stuff, like, you know, really seriously. But there was also, like I said, like, you know, really sort of lonely. So, you know, the ability for us and with diversity and with, you know, the industry and things like that we're doing in the next year, NSCA has their Ignite and their Career, trying to get new young people being able to see these women in, like, CEDIA. I mean, we have a really special industry, and, you know, like, the way that we are going to move forward, it's a really, really exciting time. So I asked you, like, you know, to sort of do, you know, things like that, like, more in, like, the future. And, you know, I really think that, you know, those are the kinds of questions that up until this point, and maybe, like, you know, you're very, like, open, and, you know, it
on a podcast yesterday, I was called sassy, but I took that as a compliment. It was meant to be a compliment. I am sassy.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been thinking, like, lately, with I'm talking to my therapist about being like, what's the real me? And I'm like, I think I'm a wild card.
There you go.
Like, sassy and, like, you know, those kinds of things, you know. But what, like, do you think that the industry and, like, people are, like, more responsive? Because those are sort of the topics that are a little bit taboo, like, you know, asking that, you know, like, what do you think about, like, people moving forward? Is it a sign of the time, or do you feel like we have to move people as leaders, or what, if, like, you know, suggestions you have for leaders of the industry? Do we have to move people in certain directions and push them out of their comfort zone, or will they go there themselves?
That's a great question. My hope is that they go there themselves. I think that with with leadership, with both men and women at the table, I think it will change perspective. You know, I always was interested in the CEDIA land, in the residential land, that it was dominated by men, but often the purse strings often was okayed by the female at home. So it was interesting to me that you would want someone to be able to have that conversation with, to say, hey, you know, it's not just about that your lighting can turn on and off by a beautiful touchscreen. It's about the color temperature of that lighting and how does it make you feel? Or when you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, what if that light was already on to a dim, happy setting? What if when you played music at 5 o'clock and during witching hour, when you're trying to get dinner on the table and the kids are screaming, what if they were just a little bit better? That should be the story we tell. It's very intimate on the residential side. It's very vulnerable. People are in your home. They're cutting holes. Are they cleaning up? Did the dog get out? And yet we've always looked at it from a boxes, big speakers sort of direction. So I think that if we start and continue to sell it from solution-based, story-based, quality of life based, you know, Julie Jacobson and her awesome stuff about biophilia, like that's been on my mind a lot. It is true that we spend 90% of our time inside. How do we make that better? How do we feel better, right? How's my soul better? I think with both sides at the table, I think the whole land can be better. Both residential side for sure, because it's intimate. I feel the same way commercially because the lighting makes a difference in your classroom. It makes a difference in your corporate setting, in your boardroom, and in your office. All that stuff makes a difference there too, how I feel, because I spend more time there than I probably spend at home. So I think that there's certain movement that still needs to happen. I don't know if we can push anyone to change, but we can keep preaching about it. We can keep reminding them. We can hope to change their perspective.
Yeah, well, that's interesting in this, you know, that's something that, you know, now again, you know, that and I've got to like make sure that I say that like five women were elected between CEDIA and AVIXA, but then there were also other women appointed to leadership, to board of directors by the actual board of directors themselves and the leadership council. So, you know, I'm really excited to see like how this goes. It'll be time, like, you know, it's like to see sort of, you know, what happens and it opens up. And, you know, again, I think it's a real testament, and we should always say about the men in our industry and why they're so different. Like, you know, we talk about like being dominated by male and things, but I do find that there's
maybe dominated is the wrong word, right? Because I don't feel that in our industry. I say it too, where it's a male dominated industry, but maybe we have to learn to use different words because, it's true in the sense there are more men in this industry than women, but we are lucky enough, blessed enough to have some phenomenal male figures who want to see change, who want women
to rise. Yeah, for our organization, Tim Albright, he's phenomenal. The first supporter of women in AV, and he has been like the consistent, not only just like the dearest friend, but, you know, consistently women has always, every opportunity and resource, he's just genuinely
our industry as a whole. I've traveled to so many of these shows by myself. I've never felt threatened. I've gone to parties where it's, you know, 10-1 ratio. I've always felt safe. So I think that that's a huge play on who is in our industry and the great people that we're surrounded by. I'm just saying, you know, seats at the table are important. And what can they do? They can hire women. They can seek them out. They can say, this is a great industry to be part of. Come aboard.
Yeah, I love it. 2020 Woo! Wave goals. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Perfect. Well, thank you so much. I mean, I really appreciate you taking the time. And, you know, definitely for folks that are tuning in, stay, like, let us know. You know, let my Heather is at tech_chi.
Balance between life and technology.
On Twitter. And so, you know, let her know if there's questions that you want to ask, or if there's like tag Women in AV. And, you know, we're really going to look forward to, you know, next year and having more of these conversations. I want to congratulate you, most specifically, like really, truly is amazing. The first female in 12 years on the CEDIA board of directors. Yeah, I mean, that's you've always shown the way. You've always led by example. And we really, you know, when I talk about like the A team of women, we couldn't be more lucky and grateful to have women like yourself who are, you know, doing it all and showing the way that, you know, you can also be human.
You know? I'm honored to be part of this crazy ride
the whole time. So thanks, Heather. How can people get in touch with you? Southtown AV and everything.
Yeah, so company address, email address is southtownaapplev@victor.com. All the social media platforms, of course, Twitter, you mentioned tech_chi. Yeah, hit me up and let's start a conversation.
Perfect. Thank you so much. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We want to wish everybody a happy holidays, a safe holidays. Yeah, absolutely.
And go out there and tell a female that she's doing great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. And, you know, take the time off and really rejuvenate, you know, that spirit, that mind. So when 2020 comes. Perfect. Thanks. All right, everybody. We'll look forward to seeing you in 2020 and more to come. Thanks, Women in AV.